This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor. And today I am joined by Bernard Pearson. Bernard joined Jake and Gino in April of 2021 and has over 10 years of real estate experience. Within the multifamily space, he has GP and joint ventured on 7 properties totaling 400 plus units and participated in another 1500 units plus with limited partnership interest. I want you all to welcome Bernard to the show. Welcome, Bernard.
Thank you, Gino. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Bernard, let's just jump right into this. You've got a lot of experience. I mean, I remember when we met first at one of the boot camps. What propelled you or what inspired you to join Jake and Gino? Because you had a lot of experience. What were the pain points that you were having in real estate?
Right. So before Jake and Gino, I was doing mostly real estate development. And my passion always, I knew it was in multifamily. I just wasn't really applying it. I was scared. I wasn't as intentional as I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And with time, I started before Jake and Gino, I started progressing towards multifamily, started getting into LP deals, started getting into a couple of small portions of GP deals, but it wasn't at the speed I wanted to. And I just joined Jake and Gino and things really changed for me. Like they skyrocketed. I've had a great year and it's been great.
So let me ask you, what were the epiphanies when you joined? Because for some students, we talked about it before we started recording, it's the focus. For some students, it's the networking. For some students, it's the education because they didn't know what they didn't know. For some students, it's that accountability. Some students is just the camaraderie. What was it for you that you really enjoyed and thrived upon when you joined?
So honestly, there's two parts to that. First, I underestimated the education piece of it. I thought I have 10 years, or back then I maybe had 9-8 years of experience. And I just thought I know enough. There's enough info out there. I can read a book. I can do that. I really underestimated it. The community and you and Jake and the whole team, the coaches, Bill, Darren, they have so much experience, and lying on that experience is so valuable. Mm-hmm. And it gives you so much confidence to go out there and do things and make things that happen. So that was definitely one of them. And the other thing was just the community, meeting other like-minded individuals and getting into deals. I've made so many great friends, partnerships, and lifetime friends and partnerships through Jake and Gino.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, you were in real estate development. You were in Nicaragua, correct? Doing work in that country. There's a lot of people out there who are in development, who are more transactional based. What appealed to you about multifamily? And speaking to those developers who are saying, I can't get into multifamily, that's not my lane. How do we convince them to come over to the dark side? And what convinced you to come over to, as I like to say, the dark side?
So before real estate, I was doing 11, 12 years ago, I was doing food trading. I was trading, which I still am a little, but more on the side. Mm-hmm. And that was my main business. And that was very transactional too. And I was making money. I mean, not tons of money, but I was making some money, and I wanted to put that money to work. And that's how I found real estate. I started buying single family homes, duplexes, small properties. And I was starting to get interested already in multifamily. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I met my development partners, and that's how I got interested in development. So I went down and I decided, you know what, it's going to be better to partner up with somebody with experience and get into development, and I'll just do this because they have experience, and I don't want to do this alone, right? So that's how I ended up back home in Nicaragua, which is where I'm from. I was born here. I'm Nicaraguan American, but anyways, that's how I ended up back in development. And after some time, I realized that at the same time while I was developing, I was doing some passive investing in real estate as an LP. And I started realizing that my LP deals were doing a lot better. My multifamily LP, just passively, without any work, were doing a lot better than my development deals in Central America. Mm-hmm. They were just, I didn't have to deal with the government as much. I didn't have to deal with the risk of knowing if I'm going to sell, if I'm the pre-construction, the time it takes from pre-construction to the time you actually sell. And that was just like, it blew my mind how I'm putting all this work. I was traveling every week to Nicaragua, Monday through Friday. We lived in Miami. I would go back and forth, putting all this work, all this energy, and I was making more money on my passive investing. So that was kind of like the no-brainer for me. I'm like, why don't I just go and do this actively? And I mean, I'll do even better. That was what gave me that boost to come. So I really encourage developers, there's nothing wrong with development. Development's great. I would probably do development at some point again, if it's more commercial development or multifamily development. Mm-hmm. The spec development, can also work, but I would really encourage to diversify into multifamily. It's going to give you that cash flow that you don't get at development.
Mm-hmm. I heard that you said you started out with single family and some duplexes. If I'm a new investor and I'm listening to this right now, can Bernard Pearson give me some advice on how to get into multifamily?
Partner with somebody who's done it before. That was how I did my first deal. I partnered with somebody who had done it before. I found a way to give them value. And how did I find that person? Networking. So you have to do both. It's networking and find someone to partner with.
Love that. And let me ask you, now that you're in it, give me some tips on taking it to the next level. That now that you've got a couple of deals, what have you been doing the last few months to take it to the next level, to start getting more deal flow and to start underwriting more deals and to start raising more capital? What are the steps that you've been taking to do that?
So honestly, at the beginning, I was actively passive. That makes sense. So it was happening very organically. I did 4 deals in 4 years, 4 multifamily deals in 4 years. The big step for me was joining the Jake and Gino community. That was what really changed everything for me. I started getting educated. I started getting more intentional about networking. I used to go to maybe 1 networking event a year. Now I go to 5 or 6. I have partners that I've met through the community, and I've done 4 deals since I joined a community, which was only 8-9 months ago. So that's 4 deals in 8-9 months, and then 4 deals in 4 years, right? In multifamily specifically. And I'm under contract on 3 more deals. So within a year, I'll probably do 7 deals versus 4 deals in 4 years. So just for me, that step was joining the community. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like everyone to really listen to this. I've never heard the word actively passively doing deals. And that's really important, because even if you're a passive investor, there's some activity in it, especially on the front end. You need to vet sponsors. You need to make sure the market is right. You need to underwrite the deal. You need to make sure you like the sponsors and their team that they're putting together. You need to make sure that the deal aligns with what your exit strategy is and what your goals are. So actively, passively doing that. That's so crucial. When you are investing in those LP deals,
it's also important to know yourself. I'm a perfectionist, so I put some barriers up on myself, right? And if now that I know that about myself, I know that sometimes I'm overanalyzing things. Mm-hmm. Some people are maybe too aggressive. Some people may be too optimistic. Some may be too pessimistic. So you have to know yourself and know what's holding you back. And it's in the mind many times. And for me, it's being a perfectionist that sometimes holds me back. And joining this community gave me that confidence and got me through that perfectionist kind of mindset, and joining partners that give me the confidence and the coaches and the community and whatnot.
I have to add to that as well, because for people that don't know Bernard, he's a truly hard worker. It's not like you just join a community or you show up and you're like, okay, I joined, now I expect an ROI. No, you need to come out to the events. You need to spend a weekend at networking at a buy right bootcamp or manage right bootcamp. You need to join and show up at Toastmasters for a few months. It's really uncomfortable, but getting on Toastmasters every Wednesday night with the Jake and Gino community, it gives you a skill set that you didn't have. Getting out of the comfort zone, the accountability piece where you're coming to MM4 and you're meeting your students there, your partners there, getting on the calls with the coaches. There's a lot of activity that's involved in it. It's not like you just join something and it happens. You join something, you put the work into it. Because when you're saying actively, passively, that means you're still doing work on the passive side, or that's a passive message. You're still putting effort and intention into it. That's what's really important for everybody to understand. It's education times action will equal the results. A lot of people take just education and they're out there and they're saying to themselves, I need to be a perfectionist. And I think that's what's great about joining a community like ours. All like-minded, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. The proximity is really important, but understanding that everybody out there is winging it. We're all figuring it out day to day, and we don't have to be perfectionists. We just need to put in the work and be held accountable by other people. And when you invest in something, we want an ROI. We have skin in the game. That's what's truly separated the beginner from the person who wants to take massive action. So it's education times action equals results. And then being intentional. And then ultimately it's a journey. So Bernard's journey is starting from an LP investor, doing development deals, then going to LP, then doing some co-GP deals. Now he's out there partnering up and he's taking deals down with partners. And now, you know, transitioning into, before we get into what you're focusing on now, it's also raising capital and being intentional on that. What type of deals are you looking at right now as far as your buy right criteria and as far as markets? Because you are in a very competitive market of Miami right now.
Right. Yeah. So my 2 markets are Charleston, MSA and Oklahoma City. And we're in Oklahoma City, we're buying deals in the urban core, very walkable areas and whatnot, and up and coming areas of the city. And they're anywhere between 30 to 50 units. We're trying to build this portfolio of properties near to each other.
Yes.
So we're buying, we have a 30 unit building that's two blocks away from another 29 unit building, right? So that's the type of stuff we're focusing on there. In Charleston, similar things. We're buying C-class properties and not as urban. We're mostly focused on in North Charleston, working class workforce housing. And yeah.
So what prompted you to go to Oklahoma City? I personally love the market. I know the metrics, but what in Charleston, I mean, Charleston's an amazing city to live in. The income growth over the last 4 or 5 years has been astounding. I mean, it's just a beautiful city. It's got character. There's a lot of jobs moving there. I think Boeing's going there. I mean, there's so many different jobs and employers there. But let's talk a little bit about the Oklahoma, you know, because people are maybe on the fence going, I don't know how to choose a market. It's really, there's a couple of ways to do it. You go by the metrics, but you also go by the location or the ease of you getting into the market as well. So what prompted you to look at Oklahoma City and start investing there?
Right. For me, someone once told me, I don't remember who it was, but someone, it might've been you, but I'm not sure.
I'll take the credit.
I'll say it was you, but someone once told me that boots on the ground doesn't, it can be, I mean, great, boots on the ground is great. It's ideal, but it doesn't always have to mean someone that's going to work with you or a partner or someone that you're going to hire. It doesn't mean someone that's going to be involved in the business day to day. It can be maybe a place you used to live in that you know the city well. It can be maybe a friend that lives there that you trust and know very well. Maybe a family member lives there. So they can give you that feeling of the city and they know the city, right? So you can leverage their feel of the city through them. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law has a business based out of Oklahoma City and he has a couple people that work with him there. So that's what first got me interested in it because I started thinking of cities where I know people that have that live there or know people or some sort of access to that city.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City was one of them because my brother-in-law has a business there. So I can call him. I can call people that work with them and they'll all do me the favor to drive by a property that we're looking at. I'll call them and ask them, what do you think of this address? What do you think of, is it desirable? Is it not? You as a local, what's your feeling of this area? Mm-hmm. And that really at least helped me with filtering the deals. And even with looking at properties when I'm not there, they all the time to drive by, take pictures of the property, make sure, you know, them help me stay on top of my property managers and whatnot. So that's what got me interested in Oklahoma City. And then I started networking with other individuals that were interested at the time in Oklahoma City, in the community. And I found some great guys that had a great deal flow and we partnered up.
That's awesome. That's sort of what I did with Jake in the beginning. He was boots on the ground in Knoxville. So I would be underwriting deals and I'm like, Jake, well, we're going to start partnering. Let's start looking at these deals. So it was easy for him to get in the car, drive it. He knew the market a little bit and utilizing that and leveraging that was really important for us and everybody out there. Bernard's not talking about 200 unit deals or 300 unit deals. Right now, the market is those smaller deals. There's a lot of value. And what he's trying to do is exactly what we're doing. We're creating scalability by buying smaller deals and putting them together and creating, on average, our offices are around 200 units. That's where we see the break even for a property manager. Anything over 200 units, they tend to be a little bit overwhelmed. So with a 200 unit, you know, office, you have a property manager, assistant property manager, maybe 2 to 3 maintenance techs, depending on how heavy a lift or what's going on, if there's a lot of service requests. So you have the 30 unit, the 29 unit, you get one more property, one more 10 or 15 unit right then and there. You have a nice mix of 80 to 90 units where you have one dedicated property manager for all three. And then the economies of scales come in and bam, your expenses come down and you're able to manage that asset. So that's really important, everybody out there. You don't have to go for that 100 unit plus in the first deal. If you can buy a couple of these smaller deals, and it really depends on the market cycle where you are in the market right now, in this part of the market cycle, those bigger assets are getting bid up by private equity. Private equity doesn't want to touch a 30 unit. Mom and pops can't afford to buy a 30 unit because they have limiting beliefs of saying, I can't do that. That's the problem in here, right? So those smaller deals, I'm 100% in agreement with you. That's exactly what we're doing. Give me a walk down memory lane of your mindset, how your mindset has shifted from the last couple of years to where you are now. Could you see yourself investing in Oklahoma a couple of years ago? Could you see yourself investing with people that you just met a few months ago? I mean, give me an idea of what the transformation has been for you.
No way. I was really, so we're from that, I'm this Latin American mindset, we're very skeptical, right? And that's changed for me a lot.
You're not a New Yorker. New Yorkers are very skeptical. So
So we're skeptical. You know, people are skeptical of everything. It's incredible, right? So I never would have seen myself doing so much with people that I'm meeting on networking groups and whatnot. But it's completely changed, and it's given me so much confidence to talk about multifamily. I used to hide that I would work, you know, that I was doing multifamily to my friends, to my family, to everyone. I wouldn't post anything on social media. I wouldn't get on a podcast like today, no way. And I was trying to do everything silently. That's kind of like very privately. I'm a very private person. I'm introverted. And as I joined the community and as time has progressed, I've realized that that's just going to hold me down. It's a limiting belief. It's going to limit my growth. And now I try to put myself out there as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm open. I'm a lot more open-minded. I used to think I was open-minded, but now looking back, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to the short answers, this is an important question. Where's your focus going now to today? Like, what do you see yourself focusing on today in your business?
So two things, taking the opportunity to others and to other investors. And that was another limiting belief I had. I don't want to be able, you know, I don't want to take people's money. I want to do everything with my own money with some very close family members or partners. So now, but I realized that I'm offering an opportunity to them. It's an opportunity that they really don't have time. They don't have the access to. They just can't get in unless someone like me comes and offers it. It's multifamily has a lot of great things that can bring to an investor, very attractive. So it's bringing that to them. And the second part of that question is, which is a similar answer, is taking it to Latin American investors so the concept of multifamily or even commercial real estate in general does not exist down there. We over there, maybe Mexico and Chile has a little bit of it where properties are sold based on cap rates and analyzed based or appraised based on cap rates. Over there, that just doesn't exist. It's all condos or it's all sold based on comps. Things don't cash flow as well. I wrote an article about how the risk-adjusted returns are superior in the U.S. by a milestone compared to Latin America. So I really want to take that opportunity to Latin American investors and give them access to investing in this market.
That is awesome. I lied. I've got one more question because this is going to be a little bit longer of an answer as well. Where do you see yourself? Because this it's beautiful, right? You're going from real estate development. I should wrap this up at the end, but real estate development to LP deals, to co-GP deals, to partnering up, doing JVs. Now you're all of a sudden talking about raising capital. We're not even raising capital here, raising capital to people who live in foreign countries, to live down in Latin America. So that's a great progression that you're seeing, everybody. That's what we call the growth mindset. He had maybe a little bit of a fixed mindset before where he was afraid or he didn't know how to offer the opportunity. We talked about it. Bernard's not asking money from anybody. He's offering them an opportunity to invest in a superior asset because down in Latin America, maybe they do have cap rates, maybe they don't, but they're probably getting a 1 or 2 cap on their assets and they're not getting any cash flow. And property rights are a little different in the US as opposed to other foreign countries where here you do have property rights and you have an asset that's, you know, a hedge against inflation and it's a basic human need. You need that. And there are superior returns. There are superior tax benefits going on as well. Where do you see yourself in 5 years in the multifamily space?
I see myself having a fund of Latin American investors where we buy multifamily and give them access to them to bigger deals, to better deals, to quality deals, and just growing our portfolio and giving them access to that and changing their mindset that the U.S. does not end in Miami or New York or these major cities, right? It doesn't end in L.A. or San Francisco. There's other places in the U.S. that are growing and there's a lot of great people that live in those cities and great areas of the country.
I love that. Multifamily is a team sport, everybody. Write that down. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
I'm missing Josh here a little bit because Josh usually takes over the reins for me and I get to listen. I get to enjoy the rest of the podcast. But his first question, what he normally asks is, you know, what's your best habit for success, Bernard?
So my best habit for success, which I started about a couple years ago, was replacing my entertainment with educational entertainment. I got entertained by listening to podcasts, by listening to the Jake and Gino podcast, by looking at the educational videos and whatnot. So that's my best habit for success. I really enjoy it.
Wow. What shows did you watch? What shows have you replaced?
With the, all that Netflix stuff and all that. I rarely watch any of that. I don't listen to music in the car anymore. I just listen to podcasts, audiobooks. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because I did the same thing about 10, 15 years ago and I got serious about my success. All of a sudden my car, when I was commuting to work, I was always Zig Ziglar on. There was always Jim Rome, always Tony Robbins listening to it. So everybody out there, how you spend your time. We all have the same amount of time in the day. Are you spending that extra half an hour a day listening to something empowering, putting positivity into your mind? 30 minutes a day, you do it 7 days a week. You figure out how much that is. That's two and a half hours a week to 3 hours a week. It's 150 hours a year. Think about that compounded over 5 years. That's an additional 1,000 hours that you, all it was nothing. And you've compounded that. So that's an awesome, awesome.
And I'm more entertained listening to your podcast than I am watching a Netflix show. Netflix kills time, right?
Yeah.
You entertain me. I get a kick out of it. Yeah.
And it's always working on your mindset because it's always positivity. You always want to learn something new. You never know when something just hits you listening to it. You're like, I never thought of it that way. So that's really, really powerful. Favorite book. What's your favorite book out there? Or a couple how. Recommendations.
Who Not How. I know a lot of people probably said it here on the show, but Who Not How. And what really clicked for me was that the Who Not How for me was, okay, so I have to hire someone. But no, you don't. You may hire someone part-time. That also means don't try to do the attorney work yourself. You know, hire an attorney. That also means don't try to be an accountant yourself. Hire an accountant. Mm-hmm. So Who Not How, definitely.
So what do you love? What juices you? What gets you passionate? What gets you going?
Other than real estate, real estate is the number one. I can watch real estate shows all day or not on TV. Like when I say shows, I mean like your show and podcast and read books or audiobooks. So that's going to be my number one. Definitely. I go for a walk and I'm listening to a podcast or an audiobook. Other than that, on my personal time, family, definitely. I love spending time with my family. Mm-hmm. We just go for walks. We're very simple. We go for walks here. I play with my kids in the park. But my hobby that I can't really do here in Miami is skiing. Skiing and not water skiing, snow skiing. I love to do that. It doesn't make sense. There's no mountains in Miami and there's no snow, but I still find a way to do it as much as I can.
And Nicaragua? Did you ski in Nicaragua? I mean,
no way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No way. Any mountains? I started skiing when I was older. So when I was 25-ish, I'm 36 now. Okay. So yeah, so I started skiing about maybe 12, 13 years ago. I used to play golf before. I used to be a pretty good golfer. Oh. And golf is a sport, is a great sport. It just takes a lot of time to play it. So I was good. So I started getting frustrated that I was losing my ability as time passed, right? Because I wasn't paying attention to it as much. And I started giving it up. I play occasionally. I played at one of the events with Mike E.T. and some other guys. We went to Top Golf and we had a lot of fun. That's another thing about your events. You have a lot of fun with everyone there, everyone's friends.
So let me ask you that's something about values, because now you've got a family and you can't spend 5 or 6 hours on a Sunday playing golf. So you'd rather give that up. And instead, what can I do with my kids or my wife? Well, let me go skiing. We can all go skiing and take a trip skiing. So it's values-based decision-making. That's ultimately, I think, what it comes down to. In the real estate space, what do you gravitate towards more now? Are you more of a capital raiser? Do you like to analyze deals? Do you like to put systems together? Do you like to asset manage, property manage? What are you more focused on right now? What do you enjoy doing?
I'm focusing more on raising capital just because one of the main, I like it. I enjoy it. I naturally have to educate others when you raise capital. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that part, speaking about my knowledge about what I've learned in the industry and naturally being in Miami, I'm not looking for deals here. But there's a lot of money here. So I've gravitated towards raising capital, but I also enjoy asset management. I am involved in asset management of the properties. I'm not the full-time asset manager, but I am involved in the asset management calls, and because I do enjoy strategy of it and finding ways to increase revenue and reduce expenses and whatnot.
I love that.
Yeah.
Last question. What, as you're looking towards it, how is your life different now than it was 5 or 6 years ago? Now that you've gotten into multifamily, you're doing it full time, you're raising capital, you're going towards your sole purpose and your passion. What is the difference in your life?
I'm confident. I'm decisive. I'm committed. As where before I was all over the place, I was not confident. I was kind of trying to testing the waters and I was scared. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of, oh, we're at the top of the market. One of the most dangerous advices that I've ever heard for me, right? And this may not apply for everyone, but for me, a dangerous advice is buy low, sell high, because we interpret that as timing the market.
Yes.
And we can't time it. You know, we can't time the market. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love about you guys that you say buy right. As long as you buy right, you're fine. So
I love that. Everybody listen to that. I mean, that's powerful because this example myself, I came down to Jacksonville in 2017. Everyone told me back then, oh, the market's overpriced. It's hot. That was almost five years ago. I wish I had bought 5 years ago. So if you buy right, you manage right, and you finance right, and you buy for the long term. Now we can't get into what type of criteria, what part of the market cycle. That's what the community and the education is about. But how do you buy low? You know what? You're at the top of the market, as the infamous Bill Hamm says, you look back and you go, oh, that was the top of the market, because no one can time the market. You need to buy in fundamentals. You need to buy with a little bit of cash flow. You need to buy in a growth market, and you need to buy with some type of stability and some type of business plan. And that takes skill, and that takes education, and that takes action, and that takes getting out there and grinding it out every little bit, every little day. Bernard, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Social media. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. You can also go to my webpage. That's www.equitypartners. That's equity with an I at the end, EQUITIpartners.com. And you can email me, B Pearson, BPIERSON at equity, EQUITIpartners.com.
Quick recap. Josh, wish you were here. You're going to have to listen to this on the replay. Bernard Pearson, 10 years ago, got into real estate experience, real estate development, gets into real estate in the US, starts buying LP deals several years ago. He said he did 4 deals in 4 years. Joins the Jake and Gino community, does 4 deals and possibly closing his 5th in the first year. But more importantly, everybody, forget about how many deals he closed. It's important. I can talk about Bill Hamill. I could talk about so many other students. He got focused. And once we get focused and we have clarity, we don't lack the motivation. We don't lack the excuses. We're not afraid anymore. And once we can surround ourselves with amazing people and we have an accountability group and we can meet amazing people and we have talents and skills that we can bring to the table, that's where partnerships start to thrive. So from LP deals to co-GP deals to doing a GP deal to all of a sudden JVing deals. And now the future, I'm glad I asked him this. He's thinking of becoming a fund manager. I guarantee you 5 or 6 years ago, he didn't even know what a fund manager was or what a fund manager did, or even exploring the options of raising capital in South America and in Latin America and those countries where they don't have multifamily. The sky is the limit. So don't have that fixed mindset. Have a growth mindset. Be willing to invest in yourself. Be willing to invest in your education. And be willing, as Bernard said, if you're an introvert, that's okay. I'm an introvert as well. We need to step out, become clear on what we want, and that introversion will go away and we will come to these events. We will put the time and the effort in. And for all the Jake and Gino students who are listening to this, and those of you who aren't, who want to meet Bernard, he's going to be at these events, whether it's the January bootcamp, whether it's the March Money Mixer. He will be at a lot of these events because he shows up and he makes it happen. So just want to thank you, Bernard, for being on the show today. And once again, what's the website?
www.equitypartners.com. Equity with an I at the end. So it's EQUITIpartners.com.
Thanks a lot,
Bernard. Thanks so much, Gino.
I appreciate it.
Had a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it.
Take care, everybody.